So therefore, with reference to all these multifarious strands of Buddhist activity, the further question arises, what is this nirvana? How is it to be explained? How is it to be understood? One gropes, of course, after analogies. One tries to go from the known to the unknown. If one has a Christian background, one will try to envisage it as a state of sort of eternal life in heaven after death. If one is of another way of thinking, one might think of nirvana even as a state of complete annihilation or extinction. Now, it isn't really very difficult to answer this question as to what is nirvana. It isn't very difficult. The texts are pretty clear as to what it is and what it isn't. I can say myself that in the course of my experience in India, even in this country, I've often spoken on the subject of nirvana. In fact, as I've already told you, it is even rather a popular subject. And one can say that a talk, a lecture on nirvana, usually goes down with people quite well. One finds that after hearing all about nirvana, that people go away from the meeting rather happily, with quite a clear idea as to what nirvana is, and also quite a clear idea as to what it is not. The procedure on these occasions is quite simple, quite straightforward. One usually begins by discussing the etymology of the word nirvana, whether it means a blowing out, or whether it means a cooling down, and so on and so forth. And one usually goes on then to explain that nirvana, at least according to the Pali texts, consists in the extinction of all lopa, or greed, or craving, or desire, all dvesha, anger or antagonism or hatred, and all moha, mental confusion or bewilderment. Nirvana is the extinction of all these three unwholesome roots. Then one usually goes on to say that nirvana is a state of supreme, of incomparable bliss, to which the bliss of this world cannot be compared. Also, if one wants to go into the subject a little in detail, one describes the two kinds of nirvana, the klesha nirvana, nirvana consisting in the extinction of all passions and defilements, and skanda nirvana, that is to say nirvana as consisting in the extinction or the waning out of the skandas, the five aggregates or heaps of psychophysical existence, which takes place upon the death, as we call it, of the person who has gained already klesha nirvana during his lifetime. One can furthermore go on to the different interpretations of nirvana in the Hinayana, the Mahayana, the Vajrayana, the Madhyamika, the Yogacara, the Zen, and so on and so forth again. And of course one doesn't forget to explain that nirvana is neither eternal life in the Christian sense nor annihilation or extinction. These are the two extreme views about the nature of nirvana. Here as elsewhere, one has to follow the middle path. So this is the usual procedure, this is the usual, the standard, one might almost have the stereotyped pattern for a lecture or talk about nirvana. And as I've said, people go away after hearing such a talk, such a lecture, quite happily, and one can say, with regard to such a talk or lecture, that in this way, a good time is had by all.